Blog Talk Radio.
And you're listening to the Siren Media Radio Show.
Siren Media Group is a multimedia company.
They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of
hate. I think there's still a lot of hope for us to progress.
We are continuing last week's topic of the complex business, social, and political street mind of Tupac Shakur.
Being shot is either going to leave you with one of the two keys, either bitter or better.
Siren Media Radio, topic today is the family secret. Incest and molestation.
It's devastating.
It's the job of the parents to protect the children.
So our topic today is, should college student athletes receive payments?
That person, the college, is making probably about $4 to $5 million a year off that person.
Siren Media Radio. So our topic today is, my baby is a gangster like me. Hereditary gang membership.
The recession is getting bad now for the whole world, but it's really been bad for poor people in America for a long time.
Because those of us who walk around free of incarceration have figured out a way to institutionalize ourselves.
At generations of poverty who didn't believe that they could rise above their class, their stature, their education level, tried to get in where they can fit in.
There have been many of our people across the country from all walks of life who have taken it upon themselves to try and pool their ideas and to come up with some kind of solution to the problem that confronts all of our people.
What's good, people? Today is Thursday, January 29th, 2015, and you're listening to the Siren Media Radio Show. I'm your host from Michigan, Dwight Rock Walker, General Manager of Siren Media Group, and joining me today is my panel. First off, she's a social worker as well as a social and political pundit from Jersey City, New Jersey. Sean Defense, a.k.a. IQ. Welcome back for Season 9, IQ.
Hoorah! What's going on, guys? It's great to be back with you again this season.
It's great to be back with you. And he's a writer-rapper who works with troubled youth in Atlanta, Georgia. Sean Ennis, a.k.a. Wise. What's happening, Wise?
Man, it's good to be back, and long live the revolution. Ha-ha.
No doubt. I saw your text on that earlier today. Our phone lines are open at 347-215-7095. Once again, that's 347-215-7095. And remember, our blogs are open, but you need to register with us on blogtalkradio.com/Siren Media Radio. And there's still our Facebook page at Siren Media Radio. That's one word, S-I-R-A Media Radio. And Twitter at Siren Media Group. Siren Media Group is a multimedia company with a focus on film, videography, photography, graphic design, and entertainment. Our radio show focuses on all of these elements, including social and political awareness. Good to be back with both of you. Hopefully it's going to be a good season. You know, I got good expectations. Last season was pretty good, so hopefully going forward everything will be good here. How was both of your break, I should say, your hiatus from the show?
Very busy. Very, very busy.
Hey, man, it's a new world for me. I turned 40. I don't even know what to do with myself.
You getting up and coming up in with the rest of us, man. That's what's up. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so tonight's topic is... Oh, she's going to start with you. Tonight's topic is racism in America the same as classism in other countries? Now, first off, I came up with this idea because of two reasons. One, because of Wise, who wanted to do a more social type of show for the next couple of weeks as far as us, you know, getting into the season, you know, dealing with how people, you know, how we as people are treated and what we can do to better ourselves and things like that. So in doing this show, I figured we need to look at something from a different aspect. So basically the other reason why, which I'm going to go into fully, you know, the reason why I had gotten this idea, the other reason why I had gotten this idea, because I had seen a movie a couple of weeks ago. I think it was called Half Past the Yellow Sun, or something like that. Have either one of you heard of this show?
No.
Okay. I think it's called Half Past the Yellow Sun. And basically, I'm trying to remember the names of the people who were in it. One guy is from 12 Years a Slave. So if you've seen 12 Years a Slave, the star of 12 Years a Slave was in this. The lady who was in it, I think her name is Thylene or something like that. If you ever saw the movie 2012 when it came out, Do you remember 2012 when the Earth was coming to an end or whatever?
I remember that.
Okay. This was the characters at the end of the film, the girl and the guy. She was the president's daughter.
Yeah.
He was the scientist. The two of them are in this film. Okay. So basically, great acting, first off. It's a part of a novel. I think they had remade it from a novel or something like that, or made the screenplay from a novel. Some people complained about the novel, saying they're trying to keep it, you know, as close to the movie as possible. You know how that goes. But I think, personally, they did a great job because of the acting and the style. It was great. So really what it's about, for the most part, is they're in Nigeria. And some things about Nigeria I didn't know. Back in the 50s and the 60s, it was a really bustling nation, a lot of things happening. They had a lot of industry, just like America, a lot of things going on. And these two sisters were basically like their father and mother were very prestigious, had them educated in the United States. One went to Harvard. I forgot what the other one. I think she may have gone to Princeton or Stanford or whatever. Very well educated. They came back. One is, you know, basically running her father's business, which had Coca-Cola and a bunch of other things that they were doing. Very prestigious. So, you know, people looked at them, they were high up, had money and the whole nine. The one married this English guy, white guy, and she was the one that went to Harvard. The other one married this other guy who was kind of, I won't say like a rebel, but he was against what some of the government was doing, basically, but still had money, you know, the whole nine. So basically the film is about when Nigeria, there was I think southern Nigeria wanted to break away and become a different country. I think it's Biafrate was the name of the country. So they wanted to break away. And all of the fractions inside the country started developing, you know, started having animosity towards each other, and it developed into a civil war. So all of these people who initially were higher class people, you know, per se, dealing with politics and this and that, all of a sudden they became poor. And you see what they're going through. The war lasted from 67 to 70. So you see all the things that they're going through and this and that. And it was just great film, a lot of great things. But the reason why I wanted to bring that up and the reason why it made me think about this topic is because if you look at certain things like that, what happened in Nigeria, look at what happened with Hotel Rwanda. You know, if you saw that film, and also if you look at the history of Rwanda and all of those things that happened, you have these fractions of different tribes who try to annihilate each other. Not only do they try to kill each other and this and that, but they try to kill that person's entire family, everyone who's associated with that group. Now, the reason why I was bringing this up is because look what's happening here in America. You have a lot of people who are very upset because there's a lot of negative things going on. There's a lot of racism. People trying to make change, okay? The one thing I will say, though, at least here, there is elements of people who do certain things that allow us to make change sometimes, depending on who's fighting against you. Even if you go against the establishment, sometimes going against the establishment, you see what's happening in Ferguson and all these other things, it does cause change to happen. Not all the time, but a lot of time it does. Where there's other nations who are going through wars and annihilation, and they base it on this group of people who are not like this group of people. So the similarities between racism in a country that's predominantly the same color, but because you have poor people, they treat them a certain way. We have that here too. But it's more, you know, in those countries because there is no race, you know, in a lot of those countries. There's a couple of speckles. But it's not as dominant as it is in America. So the reason why I want to talk about this tonight is because based on this, and based on all of this information and everything that's happening, we as people need to understand that the fight that we're going through is happening all across the world in different ways. You know, we may not be walking out and getting shot, but we're still getting shot. Our kids are getting shot and all these other things. So you see everything that's happening, and we wanted to address it. Sorry to take so long to explain that, but I just thought we had to get into it in order to understand. So first off, Wise, let me start out with you here. The one thing that seems to be consistent with a lot of, let's say, African nations, let's start out there, is the political influences of European nations, all right? And it's the political influences, or would you agree, that those political influences a lot of times are the things that cause the conflicts in these particular countries. Do you agree with that?
I agree with it, and I also think it's done. Some of it is done in plain sight, and some of it is done covertly, like how they use the CIA and other forms of the secret government to come in and destabilize or interject certain people inside certain situations so they can destabilize the government because it's best interest for our government who does business in these countries. I think a lot of it is similar in the way of its tactics and its execution. It's still based on superiority. I have a right to something that you shouldn't have a right to because I was born to have it or however you look at it. I think one of the biggest differences in comparing the things that's going on in Africa to the things that's going on in America is one of the key things, and I take it back to something I learned from Malcolm X, is why it's different for Americans is that we've lost our culture, we've lost our heritage, we've lost the tradition of our family names. In Africa, you're given a name from each one of your ancestors, so you always know where you come from. And that connection, that even though it may be a fight of classism or you know, the bout between the haves and the have-nots, they still have a sense of their history and their culture. That's something that we have deprived of and what we suffer from. And that's why I said there are not more people protesting in the street or fighting in the name of liberation. In America, that is.
IQ, based on what I was just telling you about, basically about what happened in Rwanda and in Nigeria, do you see the similarities? What things would you say, just based on what I said earlier, what things would you say are maybe similarities between the two?
What would I say are similarities between the two? Well, I think that what stands out for me most is how I got to go back to why I said, you know, we have allowed a lot of what takes place to happen in terms of our culture and our history. And I think the thing that stands out to me most is that, you know, we don't pay attention to the damage that has been done until the damage has corroded the people, the culture, the tradition. I think that's what stands out most to me, the fact that damage was done before anybody was able to troubleshoot exactly what was going on. I also feel that, as Wise stated, piggybacking off of Wise again, you know, being infiltrated by outsiders has a lot to do with separation in terms of allowing us to continue to grow separately as opposed to coming together and being united. I think that it's, you know, they could have gotten together more so and stayed, you know, on point, on task. I think the damage would not have been so severe, if I explained it correctly.
You did. You know, to go by what both of you are saying here, you know, there's a lot of things going on. You talk about, people talk about beheadings by terrorists and things like that. In America, you have people dying all the time. You look at Chicago, you know, there's people dying left and right. In parts of Africa, there's people, I think it was, 20,000 people or something like, or it may have been 2,000 people murdered recently. I forget which country that was in. Murdered recently. We hear nothing. You hear
Christians
nothing.
In Africa, you mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You basically hear nothing about it. But somebody gets beheaded, you know, obviously in another country, and he's a reporter or something like that, which I feel for his family, but that person gets beheaded, it gets all the news. So when we had that discussion a couple of weeks ago, we talk about with Black Lives, you know, do people care, Wise, do people care, et cetera, et cetera. The proof seems to be in the pudding. Now, I'm getting away a little bit from the topic here, but just understanding what's going on here where people are dying in different countries. Things are happening here in America. We see what's happening. And we are, as a people, not really doing a lot to expose what's going on and trying to help people. And why? Why is it like that? Why is it if someone who is a white or of some other culture that happened, you know, normally it gets exposed. But for black people or darker-skinned people or colored people, do you want to say, why is it that we don't get the exposure?
You know, I saw a news article the other day on CNN when I was on vacation, and they were talking about terrorist attacks in the terrorist group that they say is a terrorist group. I know very little about it, but it was called Boko Haram, and how they've been killing thousands of people. Well, let's just say hundreds, just to minimize, to make sure I don't get the numbers wrong. And there was two individuals there as commentators. And one, the reporter asked the guy, so, you know, if we're going crazy over the stuff that's going on in these Muslim countries and the beheadings, Sammy, she was talking about Iraq. She says, well, you know, people have such a strong reaction for the beheadings. Where's the public outcry for Africa? And the guy said, you know, it's not in our best interest. There's no money there for us. Blake straight up and down. He said, you'll never see a big outcry because there was nothing there that sparked our interest. But I think it's just the opposite. I think these wars serve their interests because these African countries are mineral-rich and material-rich countries. Mm-hmm. So you have people who are causing war, and the people are focused on saving their life. What happens to the resources? Who's watching those? And who benefits from a war? Whenever you see conflict, people, we always have to reduce things down to money. I know this is a topic about racism, but racism is money. Racism is finances. And when people are fighting, there's so much money to be made from the fighting, and there's so much money to be made from the chaos. Who's benefiting?
Well, you know, it actually is on task because the conversation is whether or not racism and classism are similar in other countries. And this particular situation that the white just mentioned, Boris Kodjo was furious to the point where he literally went to the media and said, you know, I understand that we need to go to Europe and have an issue with those 12 lives that were massacred, but I don't hear anybody saying anything about the over 2,000 people in Africa whose lives have been lost. When are we going over there and what are we going to do? I think people like Boris Kodjo need to speak up and speak out and continuously speak up and speak out because that's one voice. But if there were 5, 6, 7, 8 and the voices continue to grow, we could take a look at what's going on over there and maybe even be able to make a difference in how the lives are being taken. That wouldn't happen in Europe and nobody say anything.
Right. Something that both of you kind of touched on here with in terms of black lives and this and that, and not only that, but the influence of the Europeans. The one thing from the movie that they did say was, you know, that this is being funded by the European nations. And they said, no matter what they tell you, they're never going to let us go because our land has so much richness. So they're not going to let us go because of that alone. So if you think about it, think about all the things that's happening and, you know, all over the world, particularly in Africa. Think about things that's going on in America. There's not much difference here. I can tell you straight up, if I went to a certain part of Jersey and I stood on a corner for 5 minutes, a police officer is going to come by, guaranteed. If I go to Harlem and I stand on a corner for 3 months, there will never be a police officer who will come past to tell me, what are you doing here? Move on. Never be. And the reason why is because certain things are allowed. They're allowed in certain places. So it's the same concept there. Certain things go on because it's allowed because of money. Drugs come in, and let's keep it real, drugs come in through New York, through Harlem, because it is allowed to happen. And same thing within Africa, uprisings are funded, and they're allowed to happen because of money. Because of money. If somebody shakes up the status quo. Go ahead, why?
Yeah, because it serves a purpose. And what we fail to understand, purposes has no intent to benefit or to help us in either way. The money that's made in black communities are used to subsidize public record, not making shit up, Iran-Contra scandals. The things that go on in our community are used to fund government black operations. In other words, there's a strong link between the drugs in our community and then being the finances produced from it being used for foreign operations. It serves a purpose, our community being destroyed, because none of us own coke and leaves. People want to get on and be having fresh vegetables. Who's growing cocaine? You can't even roll a joint, you know, smoke a joint in your house without everybody knowing that you're smoking because you're so in close quarters. It serves a purpose, but the purpose is not to benefit us. The purpose is to keep us in our place. At the same time, building class, but to keep our finances wrapped up in addiction so that we can never have a socio-economical base to stand up for ourselves.
And, I mean, that's real. This is the whole reason why, COINTELPRO and all of that was instigated. You know,
yes.
Keep these people who are uprising right now in their place.
But, when you get to talking about this and you say, well, they're all saying conspiracy theories. I'm reading a book on the CIA and it's called "About Actions Throughout the World," and some of the stuff that goes on that we hear piece and bits about it, it is actually a conspiracy. The truth behind it, but people don't want to read or do the information. We talk about COINTELPRO, how they had supervision and surveillance on all the black leaders from Malcolm X on. This is what was going on for Biggie and Pac. They were both under FBI surveillance. These things still go on, and it's a matter of public record, but people are too busy shaking their ass to care about Africa, Chicago, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, or really them damn selves.
The topic of the show in regards to racism and classism is not just African-Americans, Africa. I mean, this extends to other countries as well. You see what's going on in Russia, Russia, Ukraine. There's different places where people have been oppressed. Now, obviously, you don't hear about mass killings and things like that. That's what happens to us, and that's what happens to Africans and to Americans. So what is the difference? And I'm posing this to both of y'all. What is the difference between the oppressed people of European nations and oppressed people of America and African nations, particularly African people?
And people of African descent? I think we sit down and we take more. We take more. I don't think that we have stood our ground in the sense that we have been willing to go above and beyond. The civil rights movement did a lot, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't enough. Not only that, but when the civil rights movement died out, no one since then has been the face of, quote-unquote, the civil rights movement. We know Medgar Evers, we know Malcolm X, we know Martin Luther King Jr., but we don't know the other faces who have been marching and who have been doing the dirty work within their states, within their cities, within their townships. They need to all come together, and we need to stand front and united. European countries and people of European descent, they are radical with whatever it is they need done. When they need change to happen, they are willing to lose their lives in regards to whatever it is they need to see happen. And that just doesn't happen enough from people of African descent. I'm sure it happens in Africa, but I'm not there to see it, but not here in the United States. I haven't seen it happen in my lifetime.
So what's the reason for that, though? What's the reason?
I think the reason is we become customers. We become customers of our own culture. We become customers of humanity. The translation is we have to use the computer to see what's going on in other places in order to get some kind of feeling. We're so humanly disconnected. Not only that, but death, the struggle, pimping, hustling, whatever you want to call it, the death or the struggle about people have become romanticized. It's on TV. It's made to look like this is what's supposed to happen. The imagery, at the same time we're being killed in the streets of Ferguson, New York, Bill Cosby is a rapist without ever going to court. Black men on college campuses are being held at gunpoint. All of us must be bad. Look at the niggas who don't have money, and look at the niggas who do have money. Why would we even intervene? They're doing us a favor, and we have become wrapped in that with the black community who doesn't own any gunsmiths or barely has a private license to hold a gun, has become an influx of guns, and the mentality is shoot you before I have to shoot you before you shoot me. It's a self-perpetual cycle. It's being romantic and due to comfort of the computer and us being disconnected. Those people who have to go from it, I'm in the suburbs. I don't see that shit every day unless I look for it and I have to do my studying, but the whole world is so disconnected. We see these things, and we're not even really cognizant of it. We just don't give a shit.
So to move forward, to get yourself out of the class that you're in, to get yourself over the racism, what steps do we need to do? What do we need to do as human beings, as parents? What do we need to do? I'll start with you, IQ.
Read. Educate yourself. Be involved. Be willing to sit in the meetings as small as the school board meetings, and be willing to go to the meetings as large as the meetings that are taking place in your local city hall. Be aware of what's going on.
be able to enrich your children with their history and their culture. Be able to enrich and uplift one another. We shouldn't be encouraging or condoning the behavior that we see, nor should we encourage or condone a lack of knowledge in terms of your culture and your history. I could go on, but I'm going to stop now.
Why?
All those things that she said, read, communicate, share, play by your own moral compass, because evidently doing what's legal and what's moral is two different things in this country, and if we follow what the standard is, we're going to become even more lost than we already are. Learn to play by your own moral compass. Find a connection with God so that you will understand the things that's going on inside of you, how it affects the things that's going on around you, and vice versa. I'm going to give you the best advice. I play by my own rules. I live by principles and morals, not by laws that are governed by man.
I think that we really, I'm just going to add to that what you guys said. I think that you should have a plan. You should, one, have a plan on what you want to do with your life in order to be successful. The first thing is, what is being successful? You need to make that differentiation. If you're doing certain things and that are negative and you want to be successful like that, is that truly successful? I mean, honestly, if you have to look over your shoulder, is it? So make the determination as to what is successful first. Next, plan for it. That's the best thing to do. Plan for it and take realistic steps in order to get there, in order to get yourself over racism, in order to get yourself out of the class if you're in a downplayed class, because you're always going to be considered something, to get over that. And next thing, be prprepared. This is where the reading comes in, IQ, that you were talking about. Be prepared. Be knowledgeable about certain things. Be knowledgeable about the law. The law is what was considered, quote-unquote, governing you. Know who your politicians are. Know how to react in certain situations, especially if you have children. If you know that ahead of time, then when something happens, there's no, oh, let me go find out what I need to do. No, you'll know what to do right off the bat. All right? So what do you guys think of that? And you'll get the last word before we close. I'll start with you, IQ.
I think what you two guys said was absolutely perfect. There was nothing else I need to add to that.
Wise.
If they have to give it to you, then they can take it back. Give it to yourself. No one can take it.
I agree. Thank you for listening to Cyber Media Radio Show. I hope, obviously, our show is on every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Once again, thank you, my panel here, for joining us and talking about different topics. We're going to continue with this series. As we go on, we're going to have different series. We're going to post them on our website so everyone knows what's going on. Hopefully you will have a great night. And just make sure, I'm sorry, I'm a little tongue-tied today because I got a lot to say here, but just make sure that you check out our Facebook page and our Twitter, once again, Cyber Media Radio. That is our Facebook page, and you can see all the up-and-coming topics that's coming through. Also on the Cyber Media website, cybermedia.com. You can look on there as well. You can see the up-and-coming websites. They should be posted as of tomorrow for the rest of the season. And obviously sometimes that will deviate. But thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you next week at 6:30 p.m. Remember, Psalms 37:24. Peace out, y'all.
God bless.
Long live the revolution.